Welcome to the WP Builds Podcast, bringing you the latest news, interviews, and fun for the WordPress community. Now, welcome your host, Nathan Wrigley.
Hello there, and welcome once again to the WP Builds Podcast. You have reached episode number 423, entitled What Just Happened? Episode 4, Big Events and Core Release Changes. It was published on Thursday the 29th of May, 2025. My name's Nathan Wrigley, and in a few moments I will be joined by Ray Moray so that we can have a chat, and I'll explain more about that in a moment. But before then, a few bits of housekeeping. If you like what we're doing over at WP Builds, be sure to subscribe. Head to wpbuilds.com/subscribe, fill out the form there, and we will keep you in touch of what we release. Typically, that's a podcast episode that you're listening to now. We'll email you about that when we release it on a Thursday. And we also do a live show called This Week in WordPress, and we release that, the audio form of that, as a podcast as well, and that comes out on a Tuesday. So we'll email you about that. So typically two emails, no junk guarantee, two emails a week. And if you want to join us and comment live on our This Week in WordPress show, we would love that. Head to wpbuilds.com/live at 2 p.m. UK time, pretty much every Monday. There might be some situations, for example, next week where I can't do the show because I'm heading to Europe for WordCamp Europe. But typically it will come out each and every Monday, and we would love it if you joined us once more. wpbuilds.com/live. The other thing to mention is that if you're in the WordPress space and you would like to get your message out about your product, service, whatever it may be, maybe you've got a theme or some blocks, maybe you've got some hosting that you want to offer, we have a WordPress specific audience and they would definitely be aligned with your messages. Head to wpbuilds.com/advertise to find out more. A bit like these three companies did. The WP Builds Podcast is brought to you today by GoDaddy Pro. GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with The Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place, invoice clients, and get 30% off new purchases. Find out more at go.me/WPBuilds. We're also joined this week by Bluehost. Bluehost, redefine your web hosting experience with Bluehost Cloud. Managed WordPress hosting that comes with lightning-fast websites, 100% network uptime, and 24/7 priority support. With Bluehost Cloud, the possibilities are out of this world. Experience it today at bluehost.com/cloud. Keeping the lights on this week are also OmniSend. OmniSend, do you sell your stuff online? Then meet OmniSend. Yes, that's OmniSend, the email and SMS tool that helps you make $73 for every dollar spent. The one that's so good, it's almost boring. Hate the excitement of roller coaster sales? Prefer a steady line going up? Try OmniSend today at omnisend.com. And sincere thanks go to GoDaddy Pro, Bluehost, and OmniSend for their support of the WP Builds Podcast. Podcasts like this cannot happen without companies like that. Okay, what have we got for you today? Well, I'm joined by Ray Moray from The Repository. That's an email that is published every week in the WordPress space. She and I have decided to do a quarterly podcast episode summing up all of the different bits and pieces that have happened over the last 3 months. When we started this show, there wasn't really too much to talk about. Now, of course, the WordPress space is just simply full of interesting news, and so that is what we talk about. We've divided it up into different categories, and so for example we talk about a whole load of community events that have happened. We get into plugins, themes and code, all the different bits and pieces that we've noticed. AI and website technology take center stage. There's also a section which really kind of encapsulates hosting, and then there's a community core governance section, and the list goes on. We really do try and sum up all of the bits and pieces that have happened. And I hope that you enjoy it. I am joined on the podcast again by Ray. Ray Moray, how are you doing, Ray?
Again. I can't believe this is, what, episode 4?
Well, you thought it was episode 3, but that's how memorable it has been. Yeah, we've already done 3.
Like, It feels like so long ago that we recorded the last episode, and then so long ago, even more.
Well, I'll tell you what, there's a lot happening in the WordPress space at the moment.
But there's a lot.
Ray Murray, if you don't know, has a fabulous newsletter. It's called The Repository. It's got a great URL as well. It's called repository.email. And if you haven't subscribed, what are you playing at? Go and get subscribed right away, because Ray, officially, I'm labelling you the best journalist in the WordPress space. So there you go. It's now official, at least on this podcast.
Do I get a little badge?
Yeah, I'll make you a little badge. But yeah, really, every week, Ray drops a fabulous newsletter with all the news. I do something similar, but mine's just a bunch of links. And then you have to go and figure stuff out yourself, whereas Ray actually puts writing into it and thought and attention
to detail.
Trying
to do the figuring.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yes,
Snuff,
thank you for that lovely intro.
You're welcome.
Yes, bringing folks all the news across the
WordPress
ecosystem.
Yeah, and there's a lot. So the endeavour of this show, as we said, we're sort of four episodes in, is about once a quarter, so we're not up to a year yet, but roughly every 3 months or something like that, we look back. Because Ray's got an archive of newsletters, she can dig into that. And because I do my new show, I can dig into that. And then we just the endeavor was to find one or two stories that would be of interest. But we've already spent about an hour and a half talking through this giant spreadsheet of about 40 stories.
We do this every quarter.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Heck. So let's see how we go. So we're going to chunk up the news into various different sections, loosely different sections. But that's the endeavour of this podcast, to talk through all of the bits and pieces that we found interesting over the last 3 months. Do you want to do any quick promotion of the repository before we start? Feel free if you do.
No, just, subscribe to the newsletter, therepository.email.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So there will be a lot of the bits and pieces that we're talking about today. Everything will drop into the show notes. Quite a lot of it is in the WordPress community. Maybe we'll stray outside of WordPress, but I think we'll try to keep it inside of WordPress. And so the first bit that we're going to tackle, really, I suppose you could categorize as events, bits and pieces that have been happening in the WordPress space. I just wanted to alert the fact that some big events have happened in the period since we last spoke. So, for example, WordCamp Asia happened in Manila. That was pretty huge. WordCamp Europe is about to happen. We're literally weeks away from that, and it looks like it's going to be very well attended and what have you. And also, there is a brand new event which you personally were very involved in, which I think probably will be where we get to first. So PressConf, do you want to tell us what your experience is there? You went
PressConf.
In person.
I did. I was very lucky to go along at the invitation of the PressConf organisers. Obviously, Raquel Manriquez, the person who organised this event, she decided to bring back Pressnomics. Essentially, Pressnomics finished up in 2019 after a six-year run organized by Pagely when they were sold to GoDaddy. And, you know, that left a real gap in the WordPress community for a business-focused event. And everybody kept saying over the years, we need something, we need Pressnomics back, we want it back, let's get it back. No one did anything. Raquel's, stepped up and done something. So she has organized PressConf. The first one was held a couple of weeks ago in Tempe, Arizona, and it was really great. I had such a great time.
So what's interesting about that is everybody said the same thing. I mean, it was a fairly small crowd, right? I think it was like 140-something people that were there.
Yeah.
But by design, it wasn't like, only 140 people showed up. That was the number, right? That was always going to be the maximum amount. So it kind of more or less sold out at that number. So was the intention then to keep it like small deliberately? And if so, how did that work? Were there benefits to it being smaller?
Yeah, I think honestly they would have liked more people. I think they've got capacity for more, but this being a first time event, I think the numbers were quite comfortable. 140 was good. It was large enough that when I walked around, I was able to meet a lot of new people, and it was small enough that I kept running into the same people all the time. So rather than having, you know, quick flyby conversations that you might have at some really large, you know, flagship WordCamps, I was able to catch up with a few people over and over. And, you know, whether it was going, sitting next to each other a session or going for coffee, I ran into Roger Williams from Kinster on the hill when I went for a hike one morning because I couldn't sleep because of jet lag. But it was just the ideal conditions for having really meaningful conversations with people. And it wasn't so much like this. The sessions were great, but the real value out of the event was these often serendipitous, unplanned conversations. The going for a walk to grab coffee, the running into people, and or just joining a group that was talking about something and you know, being part of that conversation. There were just lots of opportunities for that, and yeah, that was a real value. And I guess because it was very business focused, everybody there was open to learning, to sharing advice, and listening. And it was very, I mean, for me personally, it was very valuable because I was able to learn a lot from other people, share ideas, talk about everything that's happening in WordPress and even what's happening with my business, because I'm a business owner too. And it was just a really great environment. The sessions are really fantastic. I was lucky enough to host a couple of really great ones.
Nice.
I hosted a fireside with Mary and Matthias. Mary Hubbard, of course, executive director of WordPress, and Matthias Ventura, who's lead architect of Gutenberg. And so that was a really fascinating chat that I would love to have written a story about, but I can't, because what happens in the sessions at PressConf state, the sessions, the idea is that people are encouraged to be there in person. So there's an understanding that you don't share what happens in the sessions. And I also hosted a really eye-opening, I would say, session with Karim Mariki from CrowdFavorite, who spoke about what he's been up to with Yoast of Elk since calling for Matt to relinquish some control over WordPress in December. And so there was some really great insights during that session as well that got a lot of folks talking. So it was a really great event. Yeah, yeah. And I know that Raquel is already planning to host an event next year. I know everybody would love to go back again who was there this year. All the reviews I've seen have been and the recaps have been really positive. It was just the event that it didn't feel like a lot of work to be there.
The listenership to this podcast is pretty broad, mm-hmm. and I mm-hmm. would definitely say it isn't all about business. There's a lot of community mm-hmm. people, and you know, people who are just using WordPress a little bit for their own website. They might just have one install of WordPress or what have you. Would this be the kind of event that would interest them, or is it really the sort of inside the baseball of, I don't know, plugin developers, theme developers, people who have something to, for want of a better word, sell inside of the WordPress space?
I didn't feel like anyone was selling me anything, and often people do approach me a lot to promote their products on the repository website. I think it's definitely a conference for people who run some kind of business or represent a company. So I certainly wouldn't recommend it for hobbyists. Yeah.
Okay.
But there were people, core contributors there, other contributors in the WordPress space. So it's definitely somewhere that, like Tammy Lister, who's a longtime contributor, she gave a talk. So did Rich Tabor, who now works for Automattic. And so, you know, those folks were sharing a lot of their insights as contributors. And it is a great event for a broad range of people. But yeah, definitely people who are very clued into what's happening with WordPress and the business community.
Okay. So another one worthy of mention probably is CloudFest, which happened I'm going to say 6 weeks ago now. We're recording this right at the beginning of May 2025. And that happened, as it always does, at a theme park, which is just bananas. I was lucky enough to go to that. And there's a WordPress component to it. It's called like the WP Zone. But the event really feels like it's more for the sort of cloud infrastructure. So there's a lot of people there from, operating system, you know, like Red Hat, Linux, that kind of thing, but also some of the big security companies, like Blackwell was there and Securi and all of these kind of things. But there was just tons and tons of actual physical machines as well. But, you know, so racks, people literally trying to explain the virtues of their microchips and what have you. And it's just really interesting. But the bit that I thought was the most interesting was the CloudFest hackathon, which happened 3 days prior to the main event. And that was not really invite, but it was kind of invite. 400 people applied. I think 111 were selected, and they all got together in a room for 3 days, and with particular projects in mind. There was, you know, something in the order of about 10 or 11 different projects. And so the people hived off into whatever it is that they were interested in, hacked away for 3 days. And then there was presentations of what they'd managed to do. And then finally, some winners were announced. And the one that won, ultimately, was all about accessibility. It was kind of an interesting take on upload and accessibility, you know, an infographic, so, you know, like a JPEG or something like that, which has just got loads of data held in it, but unavailable to anybody who can't actually see it. And then an AI would examine it and then append the image. So beneath the image, it would, in a, like an accordion, like a details block, it would then write what it thought was the content of that. That data, and it was profoundly good.
That's pretty damn cool.
Yeah, it was really interesting. Did it in a heartbeat, but also got into some of the really like fine bits. So that, you know, there was a pie chart or something like that. It was able to draw out which bits got which, and then write conclusions and summarize everything, and all happened in a moment. But there were many other projects, and at some point I'll be dropping an episode about what I made of that whole thing. But anyway, there was that CloudFest.
Yeah, how amazing that you know, the vision, just on that visually project. I spoke with Anamike, and who led that team, and hats off to them for winning. It sounds like they created an amazing plugin with a really switched on team that were really committed to seeing it through. So yeah, congrats again.
It was kind of interesting. So she's now the recipient of the winner's medal twice in a row. She won it the previous year as well.
Yeah, but both for accessibility related products too, which is fantastic.
So because they know what the projects are in advance, the organizers, so hat tip to the organizers, Carol Ollinger and various other people, They know what the projects are in advance, so they pick people who've applied who they think will slot into one of those teams, one of the projects, but they don't assign them. So you listen to the project leader, who obviously has assigned themselves to a project, and then everybody in the room just decides who they're going to work with. And I just thought, there's bound to be some which are really popular and others which are not, but it didn't work that way. Everybody sort of settled out and there were more or less equal-sized groups. And then within a heartbeat, out come the whiteboards, and within about a minute, the whiteboards to me were just incomprehensible. It was just like, right, we're going to just put every nerdy thing that we can do onto this whiteboard, and then everybody would gather around and look, and, you know, it was just brilliant.
I saw some photos. I saw the security one, and I looked at it and thought, oh God, I have no idea what's going
on.
Well,
obviously, if you're drawn to security and the other 8-9 people on your table are really into that, you can just go straight in on the nerdy side, can't you? And anyway, it was just fascinating watching these people contribute, but also some of the teams, it's not just code and it's not just nerdiness. They need to think, okay, in the end, we want a plugin. And if we've got a plugin, we need some graphics to go with that. We need like a landing page. We need a website. So it's not all about creating the project, you know, the code of the project. It's about creating the marketing around it, the landing page, the graphics, the branding.
That's a smart thing, right? Like Carol's really set up the hackathon so it's not just a bunch of developers just making something, just coding something, but actually proper teams that create an actual substantial thing at the end that includes even some marketing and that's how smart.
I'll drop an episode in the near future about it. But yeah, so that has happened, and no doubt it will happen again. And I think that the sort of companion event, which is happening in the US, CloudFest US, I think they might have a hackathon this time around as well. So we'll have to wait and see. But so there we go. There's a bunch of events that have happened. WordCamp Asia, WordCamp US, PressConf, CloudFest. And then let's just drop this one in. Happening kind of on the periphery of WordCamp Europe coming up is a new event, and it's called, now you've written it in the show notes as Grassroots Alt Control Org. I think its official name is just altcontrol.org event.
It's a grassroots event. So Alt Control Org, it's organized by a group of independent WordPress contributors, people who've organized a lot of WordCamps and WordPress events in the past. And so they're mostly from Europe, and they've organized this event, I guess, as an alternative side event to WordCamp Europe for people who are interested in the open web, who want to have open conversations about what's happening with governance and governance reform and leadership transparency in the WordPress space. So I've published a story about it. The organizers put out some tickets last week. All 100 tickets were gone within a day, and so they've expanded their booking venue can now fit 200 people, so they've opened up tickets, and it's a free event, so it'd be interesting to see how that goes. They've got some really interesting speakers from the Free Software Foundation, from Typo3 Association, from also the WP Community Collective, and there's a panel with Say Reid and Joost de Valk, who's also working on a project called FAIR. I'd be interested to hear more about this one once it's happened.
So it's happening in the same city, very, very close to the main event, the WordCamp Europe event. I think it's a stone's throw away, really, a short walk away.
Yeah, 5 minutes.
But it's just a handful of hours. I think it begins at 5 p.m. on one of the days at WordCamp Europe. So hopefully it won't, hopefully there won't be too much in terms of overlapping. If you want to do both, you'll be able to do both, not simultaneously, but, one finishes and the other begins.
Yep,
but there's some kind of curious thread there. So you were talking about PressConf, and I think you said what is said in the room stays in the room. And also this event feels a little bit like maybe that's what it is essentially trying to do. It's trying to raise a platform, let's go with that, for these conversations. So, yeah, and when you were at... Obviously, I'm not trying to get you to divulge things that happened at PressConf, but did you get a sense that people did loosen their tongues, for want of a better word? Were there things said think that might not have happened in a different spot?
Definitely conversations you'd still hear at WordCamps, but people would be more guarded, I think. Yes.
Okay, so let's see how that goes. You'll be able to find all of the links to all of those different bits and pieces, the upcoming events, as well as the ones that have already happened. Obviously, the flagship events like WordCamp Asia will be happening again. It's going to go on in Mumbai next year. I'm not sure about the location of WordCamp 2026 in Europe, but for now, that's happening in June in Basel in Switzerland. Okay.
Yes.
Should we move on, or is there anything you want to drop into that event a bit?
Very quickly, I'm interviewing the leads of WordCamp US 2025. There's been a lot of chatter about what's happening with it. I'm going to drop a story in the next couple of days about that one going ahead and where it's at. And you can't move past your own event that's happening.
I can. I'm so going to move past my own event.
Quickly mention, come on, Page Builder Summit.
You do it.
Page Builder Summit 8.0 is coming up.
Yeah.
I haven't been able to promote it because you haven't been promoting enough to
me. I'm so good at
self-promotion. I need some more detail.
Yeah, I'm so good.
So it's the 12th till the 16th of May.
My guess is that this episode might have already, we might have missed it. So, anyway, there it was. It's been and gone probably in all likelihood. But time, if we do a 9, which we probably will, then you'll be able to check it out. It's a fun event. There's a lot of, I'll tell you what, I mean, you were talking about Raquel organising that in-person event. They take some time. They don't just drop out of thin air. So if you are ever in an event that somebody else has organized, do be sort of conscious that they don't just come out of thin air. There is quite a lot going on, and we do try our best, but we don't always succeed, but we try and succeed in
those things. Try.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, well, thank you. I appreciate you dropping that in. Okay, let's move on. So this is, you could broadly classify this, I suppose, as code plugins, something like that. All of the bits and pieces attached, maybe hosting will get thrown in. And a couple of things which have happened. The first one I wanted to mention was Oxygen, which was a very popular page builder. Kind of, well, obviously, if you're in the Oxygen community, perhaps it still is, but I don't know. But it kind of, it sort of took a bit of a backseat because the developers of that page builder decided that they were going to launch another page builder, which was very confusing to many people. They had this Oxygen product, and then they kind of put that on the back burner to launch this thing called Breakdance. And it was difficult from the outside to see what the heck was going on. Like, well, why have they got two? What's the difference between one or the other? Dear listener, you may well understand what the difference is, but I didn't. And I think a lot of the Oxygen community became a bit disillusioned with it. I know from personal experience, many people who just thought, right, that's it. I don't know what to make of these products anymore. So I'm just going to move on to something completely different. And they found, I don't know, Elementor or Blocks or Bricks or whatever it may be. But then curiously, during the earlier part of this year, Oxygen kind of came back with a brand new version, Oxygen 6. And I was kind of just a bit confused by how it is that you can do that to a product, kind of put it on ice and then bring it back with a bit of fanfare and kind of have that expectation that people will just say, oh, yeah, great. It's like nothing happened. So I don't know how that project is going. I mean, as with everybody in the WordPress space, I wish them well. I hope it's a barnstorming success. But it was a curious indication to me of, okay, I wonder if people will be able to sort of have confidence in it, knowing that there was all this brouhaha and what have you. You may not have anything to add to that. I don't know if you followed that one at all.
I haven't followed it very closely, to be honest. And I just opened the site to look at the pricing because, you know, how do you come back after disappearing? And how do you, you know, because launching any kind of product is about trust. If people don't trust your product and don't think you're going to hang around, why would they invest their time and potentially their client projects in your product?
Yeah.
And it's interesting because on this site, the only pricing is a lifetime bundle for $199.
Okay, maybe that's what they've gone to. Yeah, maybe that's how it was. I certainly know that when it was growing in popularity, they were all about their lifetime deal. So maybe that's literally what they've got. But curious. If you've got any commentary on that, you know, if you have positive impressions of how that all worked out and you think that Oxygen is brilliant, I'd love to hear, because from the outside, not ever using it or frequenting any of the communities that surround it, I just found it all very confusing. And like I said, I wish them success, but I thought that was curious.
Oh, no, actually, this pricing is really confusing. There's a lifetime bundle for Oxygen 6, but then Oxygen Classic has regular pricing that starts at $129.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe Oxygen 6 is a break. Maybe it's a breaking change from Oxygen 5 or something like that.
Well, it says it's still in beta anyway.
Okay. Anyway, it was a kind of an interesting study in how you can kind of, you know, in my case anyway, cause confusion, having a variety of different products which ostensibly did very, very similar things. We will see. Okay, sticking with page builders, though, let's move to Elementor. Big changes coming. I mean, nobody's not heard of Elementor in the WordPress space. It's the juggernaut, isn't it, of page builders?
Well,
I think
how's Oxygen, about 10% or something of the
internet? No, I think it's like 29%.
Or is it more? What?
It's some bizarre number. Yeah, you go research that. But anyway, it's a huge number. And if you were to strip out Elementor of the growth of WordPress over the last 6 or 7 years, the line would be very different. Elementor by itself represents a huge amount of WordPress's
12.
Growth.
12%.
Okay, so I'm wildly wrong. Yeah, thank you for putting me correct there. That's great.
But as they say on the website, 1 in every 8 websites.
Okay, massive, yeah? Massive. Yeah, I got the numbers the wrong way around. I was 21 and 12.
Crazy.
So similar, right? But they've got a version 4 coming out, which is a massive undertaking. Do you want to tell us what you know?
Yeah, so Elementor dropped their Editor V4 as part of the, I don't want to get this wrong, their version 3.8 that came out last week. And, yeah, so they're slowly starting to release version 4. So the first reviews that we've seen from, you know, these big popular YouTube channels like Web Squadron, you know, Imran Sadiq from Web Squadron, and also WP Crafter, they all love it and think it's going to be great. It's getting really great feedback so far. Obviously, some people have their reservations; they want to see more because it's only in alpha at this point. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Elemental's doing a lot at the moment. This year they've released they had their road big web forward event earlier in the year, and they've released Ally and accessibility plugin. They've got Editor V4 coming. They've got a new Send plugin. There's a whole lot of products that they've been working on, and yeah, it's a pretty big year for Elemental. So I think Editor V4 is going to drop in Q3 from what I've heard. Be interesting to see how that rollout goes, because it's Elemental is moving to a CSS first, you know, way of working with the page builder. So that's going to be a very big change that is very welcomed by many more experienced people, I guess, in the Elemental community. But it'll be interesting to see how they transition, you know, beginners who aren't familiar with CSS into this new old way of working.
I did a podcast episode with the Elementor crew the other day, and what was kind of curious to me was the CSS first approach. So the idea being that it's going to be less about kind of click, point, drag, and more about learning CSS. Like, I think they're going to help you through this period of change. But the idea being that you'll assign classes for different things. So, I don't know, you want a red button, you'll have a class of red, which will make everything that it goes to red. And then you'll have a class of button, which you then might assign a border radius or a certain padding. And that'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see how the Elementor crowd can cope with that. Because obviously they've pitched themselves as a no-code solution. Well, this is still very much no-code, but they're leaning into CSS, and CSS is really gonna be interesting in the next few years. If you follow that whole CSS thing, it is transformational what's coming in CSS. In fact, it's already there, but none of the page builders make much use of those things because they can't really. So anyway, there's that. So go and check it out. Elementor V4 links will be in the show notes. Let's move on. Quick one, couple of ones around publishing things as newsletters. So the first one is that the plugin Newsletter Glue, which is what I actually use on my websites on WP Builds, that has been sold. Leslie Sim, who's built it with Ahmed over the last several years, has decided to move on to an events platform. She's got this thing called Events Koi, which she's working on at the moment. And as a result, wasn't able to put the time into Newsletter Glue and has sold it. I can highly recommend it. It seems like the guy that's taken it over, Tyler, don't know anything about Tyler, but I think he's basically in the industry already. You know, he's in the WordPress and newsletter industry. So hopefully the product will get some attention. We'll wait and see. But I don't know if you've got anything about that one.
Yeah, I mean, I spoke with Leslie after the sale, and she seemed ready to move on, I think, after, you know, working on Newsletter Glue for such a long time. And she feels really reinvigorated with something new to work on.
Nice.
You know, starting again. As far as Tyler goes, I think he did an interview recently with the Publish Press podcast. Mm-hmm. But he's you know, built this product paywall project, and
that was
he
it. Yeah.
Works with a lot of publishers, I think a small to medium-sized publishers, and it looks like Newsletter Glue he's building out his suite of products to support publishers. So good on him. I'm always going to support someone who's supporting publishers since I'm one. And it's great to see that he's picked up, you know, that Leslie's moving on and she's working on something she's passionate about. and Tyler's able to continue working on Newsletter Glue and carry on that legacy. So
yeah, the next one.
Congrats
all
around.
Yes, sorry, I interrupted you there a little bit. The next one, though, might be something that Tyler doesn't want to think too much about, because it's a rival which seems to be coming around, and it's called MailerPress. Having dug around a teeny tiny little bit, I think that this is done by the company that are behind SEO Press. So if you've heard of that kind of SEO plugin, they've got a good reputation. Then maybe this will be a similar product to Newsletter Glue. There's only a video at the moment, but I'll link to the show notes and you can see it's basically a suite of blocks. You can drag the blocks in. So if you think, I don't know, MailChimp or ActiveCampaign, you know that interface, you drag in different bits and pieces. It'll be a bit like that, and hopefully you'll be able to build your newsletters in the WordPress block editor. Unless they do something utterly transformational, I will be sticking with Newsletter Glue, because it literally is the perfect thing for me. So anything on that, or should we head over to Theme Switcher?
No, let's move on.
Okay.
Theme Switcher Pro. Yep. This one's getting some attention.
It is really getting some attention. I want to speak to that, actually. This is kind of curious to me. So I am about to do an interview with Brad, who is behind this plugin. And one of the things that I want to focus on is, how the heck did he get this product so much attention? Because if like me, you obsess about WordPress, you'll know this. Like, products come and go all the time. Some of them just get this tidal wave of attention from some influencers, for want of a better word, which then spawns more people to talk about it, and it's this virtuous cycle. Well, I think he's just dropped right into it. Now, maybe it's his history. He's got a long and storied history in the WordPress space. But you know, I've seen products, not this product, but I've seen products that really, you know, could have had an equal impact, that have just come, just never got the traction and just gone away. So I'm really curious about how he's managed to already, as far as I can see, make it a success before it's really had much of a chance to be battle tested. So I think that's curious how personalities, influencers can influence the direction of a product in such a seismic way.
Definitely, yeah. Going to listen to that interview, because that's fascinating. How, you're right, like, some people launch products and really struggle with marketing and don't know where to get started. But I guess now this is a Web Dev Studios product, right?
They've, so that counts for a lot around, already, right? Big,
yeah,
following.
So that's, yeah, an agency, yeah, that's been around for a really long time. So they're already well connected in the space. And so some people just know where to go to, you know, to approach you for an interview, you know, approach the right people who can help spread the word. So, yeah.
It's a curious idea, though. And to be honest with you, I kind of, looking at it, I'm thinking, why did we not always have this in core? And it, basically what it does is it offers you the option to have two or more. I think I'm going to say or more. I could be wrong about that. But multiple themes at the same time. So you can say, this page, use this theme. This page, use this theme. And that could be a classic theme or a block-based theme. So this could be a real great option. Instead of working on a staging site to try and get your theme over to a block-based theme and have to do all of it in one go and then finally take staging to live, this could offer you the opportunity to just change it slowly over a number of months or years even, until finally, you know, nothing now on the website is using the old theme. Okay, let's just can that and go back. But that's the promise. So it's a really interesting product, I think.
Yeah, it's a clever product. Very clever.
The next one I'll just mention, I just thought it was quite interesting. Patterns WP, again, links in the show notes. I don't really have a lot to say about it because I haven't really inspected it, but it just came up on my radar. It looked like a really credible suite of patterns with a big free offering. They have a pro, which obviously will offer more. I don't really know. But I'm just drawn to these kind of things, just the idea of leaning into patterns and loads of free stuff that's been pre-designed by people who are much better at design than I am. So there's nothing else to add than that. It's just there. So, yeah. Anything? Did you want to say anything about that? Probably not.
No. Okay. No. Happy to move on.
Take us into AI, Ray.
AI. Everybody's talking about it, including James LePage, who is so damn smart. I had a really good chat with him about the the AI-powered website builder that he has helped work on for WordPress.com. There's been a lot of interesting media about this WordPress site builder. Hey, have you seen a lot of the sites out, new sites outside of WordPress that have been writing about this?
It's really no, really I haven't, bad. To be honest. Go on.
Oh, sites like, I tried WordPress.com's new builder and it was really terrible and stuff like that. Oh. It's been a lot of bad reviews. But
really?
The, so I had a chat with James. The idea with this builder is that it's essentially an MVP and it's designed for beginners who have never used WordPress before, who are new to it and don't know how to get started with a website. So as you, like with a lot of these kinds of builders, you put in a prompt describing what kind of website you want and it basically builds it for you. And the cool thing about this product is that it's completely integrated with WordPress and the block editor. So once you come, once you get to the end of the AI powered bit, it drops you into the block editor and then you can continue building out the site.
Okay.
And it's cool. And so, it was really good to speak to James about what, the team wants to build out for this product and also get an idea of the other kinds of things that he's working on as, head of AI engineering at Automattic. I guess watch this space to see what
AI
happens next.
Honestly, all the hotness until it's not. Let's see. Okay, there we go. That will be linked from the repository article that Ray wrote about that. And then a couple of things, hosting maybe we could describe it as. There's nothing to say here other than that it's happened. A2 Hosting, a company that's been in the WordPress space for a very long time, offering their hosting up. Name change, branding change. They have acquired, wait for it. I mean, this is the golden URL if you're in the hosting space. How the heck? They got hosting.com, and I imagine they paid a pretty penny for it. So if you're an A2 hosting provider, user, then at some point in the near future, maybe already, I don't know, you're going to be using hosting.com, which just sounds pretty cool, I think.
Well, so I did a bit of digging around. A source told me that the hosting.com domain cost $2 million.
Gosh.
So so digging around with the Wayback Machine and going back through, I went back through, all the history of the website.
Oh, you're
so it was
nerdy.
Really interesting.
That's great. Yeah, that's great.
I nerded out one afternoon having a look. So it was first registered in 1996. It was originally, it operated under the name hosting.com for a really long time until 2019, essentially. I guess along the way, the company kind of rebranded to just hosting in capital letters, as you do. Then they merged with another company called Hostway. And once those companies merged in 2019, they decided to rename a new company called Entirety. So then they.
What, away from hosting.com? That seems nuts.
I know. Why? Why? I don't know the context around it, but they took on, they moved to Entirety.com and then the hosting.com domain began redirecting to Entirety.com. And so around mid-2023, that's when a for sale landing page started appearing on the hosting.com domain. And looking at Wayback Machine, it looks like World Host Group, which acquired A2 Hosting.
Yep.
So World Host Group looks to have acquired the domain around December 2024, so December last year. And so they already had the hosting.com domain before they bought A2 Hosting in, I think it was in January that they bought A2 Hosting. It looks like World Host Group is, they've grown their company by acquiring lots of hosting companies over the past 2-3 years.
Yeah.
And so they recently acquired
They've acquired quite a lot in the
Fast Comet
India
recently.
And Asia. And
they have 30 hosting brands now. And so they it looks like they're bringing them all under this hosting.com domain, including A2. And so it is a little bit sad after, you know, more than two decades, 23 years, I think it is, that A2 Hosting was a name.
Yeah.
And that's been brought into this larger company.
And somebody somewhere is just rubbing their hands together for the fantastic decision they made in 2000 and whatever it was. No, 1996.
Into 1996 when they registered.
Just like absolutely fabulous. Complete aside. I heard on the radio the other day that an individual whose initials are AI, it was like, I don't know, like Andrew something or other, you know, Andrew Ignatius, let's go with that. I couldn't think of anything that began with I. They, years and years ago, probably at about the same time, just bought the domain which had their initials. Obviously, there was no conception that AI would become the euphemism for artificial intelligence. And they're now selling it in the year 2025. And the price tag, the beginning of the bidding, I don't know if bidding's the right word, but they've employed this guy in New York whose job it is, that's all he does, I think, is just to shift massive domain names. And the asking price is $100 million.
That is insane.
It is insane. And it makes me think, what the heck was I doing in 1996? Why wasn't I...
buy that?
Why wasn't I bent over my computer just getting all the domains?
So it's got to be someone like Elon Musk who buys that kind of domain.
Hey, I mean, or OpenAI, you know, Sam Altman or something. It's so memorable, isn't it? Anyway, bit of an aside. And then the other one, which you've put in, is Stellar WP, who've come up with this product called Stellar Sites. Tell us about that.
Yeah, no, I just found this one fascinating. So Stellar WP for a long time has been, I guess, an umbrella brand for several standalone separate products. So, you know, like LearnDash, GiveWP, Cadence, and I'm forgetting something there. There's several different products.
GiveWP, Cadence,
There's a Solid WP
as well. Yeah, you're right.
But several products. So, the iconic WP.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And so it's been an umbrella brand, but in the past a week or two, they've launched Stellar Sites, which is a managed hosting platform that unifies their plugins into a more tightly integrated vertical focused service, which is interesting because now when you go to Stellar WP, they're slowly rebranding to push people into signing up for this hosting platform. So they have an AI-powered website builder. So it was really interesting testing this after using the WordPress.com AI-powered builder. I kind of prefer the Stellar Sites one because it's a little bit more feature-rich and it provides more options and it guides you through. And what's really great is that if you want to do something that's, you know, a bit more feature-rich, like a donations website or something, a platform for selling products, you can do that with this new platform. So, I'd be really interested to see where this goes because it's interesting example of niche hosting that's popping up.
Yeah, yeah.
And when I saw this, I couldn't help but think of Jason Coleman from Paid Membership Pro, who recently announced on Twitter that they're looking at launching their own managed hosting for their own customers. I wonder if we're going to see more a product-based companies go down the road of
it's interesting,
launching
isn't it?
hosting platforms.
We've always had big companies being the hosting companies, and now it feels like some of these smaller companies that have grown large over time, they've now got the brand reputation and deep enough pockets, and maybe they've had some investment along the way to make them into a hosting company at the same time. And you throw AI into the mix and all of a sudden you've kind of got the full package, haven't you? Okay, so Stellar WP launches Stellar Sites. Again, that'll be linked. That's on the repository as well. Okay, so that's our kind of newslettery, plug-in-y bit. Let's move over to the community, I suppose you could describe this as, core, things like that. We have to mention that WordPress 6.8 has just dropped. It featured some stuff which you may not be aware of. If you just update WordPress and you don't look at the news, you might not be aware that, for example, your website, the hashing of the passwords is now handled by something called Bscript. It used to be handled by something called Mscript. And the nerd value that you can get out of that would be enormous, I expect, if you knew what you were talking about. I don't, really. I just know that one's better than the other. And we're on the better version, thankfully. Go and speak to somebody like Tim Nash. He'll be able to explain it to you. But essentially, I think it's a more brute force, a more secure way of keeping your passwords hashed within the WordPress database. But also, we have this thing called speculative loading, which I think is on by default in WordPress 6.8 and beyond. And this is kind of voodoo and a bit scary when you say it. It's trying to figure out what you're going to do next. Taking the action of your mouse. So if you hover over a link, turns out that fraction of a second that you're hovering over the link is enough for a platform like WordPress to figure out, you know what? It's highly likely that this person is going to click. So why don't I just go and start downloading that page? That's what it does. So the intention being that it will already be basically in the browser ready to go so that when you do click on it, it will be there, either partially there or completely there. And in this way, we'll speed up websites. Fascinating to me, though, that the browser
really
can figure out.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mad. I think this is very cool. Making websites faster. I'd never heard about this before until I started reading about it. But
so it's called, I think it's the speculation API, speculation rules API. I've forgotten. But the way that WordPress has implemented it is fairly conservative. There are some lovely words around it, and I've forgotten, but it kind of cutesy words that go around it. We've got something like, I can't remember what it is, but we've got a fairly conservative interpretation of that. It is possible, if you know what you're doing within WordPress, to switch it on to be more aggressive so that it'll more, you know, it'll capture and start downloading everything. I guess maybe we need to think a little bit about the environment. Do we need to be downloading pages that nobody's ever going to actually look at? So maybe that's why
where
WordPress
my brain
has,
went to.
Yeah. Mm. Maybe that's why WordPress has gone for this. But anyway, so that's there. And then there was a bunch of editor improvements as well, but this is maybe not the place for that, but just go and poke around in Gutenberg and you'll find out. Then what have we got? Then we've got the whole accessibility improvements and whether or not accessibility should become a canonical plugin thing. I'm over to you with this one because you wrote this or not.
Handball it to me. What's the backstory to this one? So a few weeks ago, back in, I think it was March, Matt Mullenweg posted in the Core Committers channel the idea of potentially developing some things in a canonical plugin. So a canonical plugin is a plugin that's community developed, that's maintained in close alignment with Core, such as, you know, the performance plugin that the WordPress performance core performance team works on. So he suggested a few things that could be developed as canonical plugins, such as such as secure custom fields.
Yeah.
And I think there was there were a couple other things that don't come to mind, but accessibility was one that he mentioned as well. And a few people spoke to me about it. Joe Dolson, who's a core committer and a longtime accessibility expert. I also spoke with, I don't want to get her name wrong, Ryan Rietveld, who is a web accessibility specialist, and also Amber Hines, who runs Equalize Digital, and they were all dead against this idea. Let's just be very clear, it's an idea.
Yeah,
no,
I think
proposal.
That's a good point. Yeah,
it was
idea.
It was just something that I guess you know, at the moment there's a lot up in the air about how WordPress is moving forward, so this is a suggestion that Matt was putting out there as a way to move accessibility forward, whether it's a good idea or not. These folks are saying it's not. So while some people say, you know, we see performance being developed as a plugin outside of WordPress. Why don't we do that with accessibility? Well, accessibility is a legal requirement in some countries, especially in Europe and in the US as well. And you know, performance isn't. So, you know, this is accessibility isn't a nice to have. It's something that's actually needed. Mm. And so these folks make a really good point that if we're developing it as a canonical plugin, who's going to do that work? Are we going to see a duplication of effort because, you know, there needs to be some work in core and also in this plugin? And there are just a lot of, you know, I guess, what ifs at the moment because we don't have a proper proposal. So,
So,
just interesting to unpack it.
Yeah, definitely. Who knows how that'll pan out, but the voices were quite loud, weren't they, on the please don't put this into a canonical plugin. Yeah. You know, this should be in core. Clear. And I think the argument that you just articulated sums it up perfectly. It is a requirement. Performance is legal requirement, whereas performance is not. And also you might be on a different host, which would, you know, have different expectations of what your WordPress site would perform like because of the hardware they're on or the operating system that they're using or what have you. So so that's interesting. Again, written up on the repository, you can go and check that out. I was going to mention Playground. I did an interview with Birgit Pauli-Hack about the magic of WordPress Playground. I'll just mention it like that and drop it in. I did that on the Tavern. If you haven't played with Playground, it is blooming marvelous, and it's getting better by the week, basically. Enables you to click buttons and launch WordPress in your browser, but it's doing so much more now. It really is becoming a really robust way to test things and maybe even demo your plugin or theme to other people. It really is remarkable, and it is going at a heck of a clip. So there we go. Okay, then we got more community related stuff, and although this article you said a minute ago before we hit record is a little bit older now, I think probably the metrics that you were measuring haven't changed. This is your piece entitled "Who Leads WordPress Businesses? The Data Confirms It's Still Not Women." Can you remember the takeaways from that one?
Yeah, I feel like I wrote this so long ago because, you know, 3 months in WordPress feels like a lifetime.
It does
these
now,
days.
Doesn't it? Yeah.
So last year I worked with WP Includes, which is led by the lovely Siobhan McKean and also Francesca Morano and D-Teal. It's a non-profit organisation that supports women to help equip them with the tools they need to attain leadership roles in WordPress-focused organisations. I guess, WordPress-focused organisations. Anyway, so WP Includes launched a gender equality in WordPress survey last year that I assisted with, and then we published a report based on those key findings, and a lot of the key findings were quite disappointing, to be honest. There are a lot of I'd found that there are a lot of leadership disparities with very few women at the top in WordPress companies in the ecosystem. Only 4% of companies that have pledged, for example, only 4% of companies that have pledged to WordPress's Five for the Future initiative have women in their leadership roles.
Wow.
In their top leadership role, I should say. And then an interesting one, only 5 of the 69 agency partners that work with WordPress VIP have a woman in their top role. 5 out of 69. And you can kind of see how this has happened over time. Tech was a fairly equal industry for a long time up until, I think, the 70s, 80s. Not sure when it changed. I'd really recommend to people who want to learn more to watch Siobhan and Dee's talk on WordPress TV from WordCamp Europe last year about women in WordPress. It's a really fascinating look at how that's kind of rolled out. But I guess when we launched this report last year, it was a couple of days before WordCamp. It was the first day of WordCamp US, I think, and a couple of days before Matt's infamous controversial keynote address. So the report got buried in everything that was going on.
Oh, did it?
So
did you? Yeah.
So that's what happened. So for International Women's Day, I decided to revisit the report 6 months on and had a really good Q&A with Siobhan about the findings of the report and, you know, the action that we'd really like to see taken. Whether it's landed, probably not. Because it didn't, I think it felt like when we put it out there, it was preaching to the converted, you know. So all we can do is keep putting this stuff out there and hope that people will start to pay attention eventually.
The link will be in the show notes. So if you want to go and check that out, you are more than welcome to. What else can we say in here? Because we are approaching the hour mark. So let's try and cut a few out. We've got a lot in there. What do you want to go to? We've got lots about automatic workforce cuts. We've got core committers struggling to keep up.
I wanted to just mention, I think we pass over it quickly, but yeah, the WordPress slowing to one major release per year.
Let's do that one.
That was a big deal. So that was that was a few weeks ago. I have to remind myself of
Yeah, it feels like it was about
that one.
About 2 months ago, something like that now. Yeah.
No, it wasn't. It was only this in April, but
it feels so. Gosh. No, yeah, you're right. It does.
Feels like it happened in January or something. But,
no kidding.
So, yeah, so WordPress has the WordPress project, to clarify, has officially shifted to one release per year. We've just seen the release of WordPress 6.8. which is the only release for 2025.
The only major release, we should say.
Major release. So yep, we'll still see minor releases coming.
In fact, we've got a 6.8.1 already. So yeah.
Yes. Yep. Yep. And hats off to Aaron Jorban, who's leading those releases at the moment. He is an excellent core committer. So the next major release won't be released until sometime next year. Sometime in 2026. We don't know when. There's no real schedule for that yet. And the interesting thing that Matt has said is, maybe it wasn't Matt who said it. No, Mary Hubbard. It's really about the lawsuits with WP Engine. In her announcement, she said that, you know, if the lawsuits are dropped or resolved, the cadence will be revisited and there'll be a strong consideration to returning to a three-year release, three releases per year schedule.
I was going to say, that's much worse. Yeah, we'll go to one release every 3 years.
And that's it.
I love it.
It's definitely slowed down. And I guess we'll wait and see what happens.
It is
no one's really upset about it, though, release per year.
Quite a few people have been talking about there's some potential upsides. Obviously, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of concern in the community about it, but I've seen quite a lot of people saying, actually, I wonder if, you know, this is happening. We can't change that. That's now how it is. Mm. Are there any bits which can be perfected? You know, maybe the fact that we've got a longer roadmap, it will allow plugin and theme developers to, for example, test their code more because they'll have this long runway. Also, maybe it'll get some attention to other things because we won't be just dropping features all the time. And obviously, if features are dropping and the block editor is changing all the time, that makes it difficult to, well, as an example, the newsletter glue plugin, they probably have to keep abreast of absolutely everything that's going on with the block editor to make sure that nothing breaks. And if, well, I suppose that was a bad example because Gutenberg, the plugin, is released fairly regularly still. But anyway, so some sort of not counter arguments, but people trying to, I guess, make the best out of the situation. So anyway, that's it. Yeah, so we'll get a version 6.9 probably in 2026 as it stands, and then a version 7 probably in 2027. So a huge change, actually. We'll see how that impacts the community and what people make of that, because we haven't really felt the effects of that. Everything at the moment feels like it's the same, because 6.8 came out when it would have done. 6.8.1 came out when it would have done. But by now, we're expecting 6.9 in the next, I don't know, couple of months, something like that. And obviously, that won't happen. So it will only be in the next few months that we'll notice that that hasn't occurred, and we'll see how that goes. And then I suppose the last one, time is the enemy here.
Yes.
Darn, we got loads. The last one I think maybe we should touch on is the reinstating of a bunch of people in the WordPress community. There was this whole thing about people getting blocked from, off the things that I can think of. Make Slack, WordPress.org, that was probably it, wasn't it?
And many people being banned on social media accounts as well.
Oh, okay.
Across WordPress's various social accounts. But yeah, this is an interesting one because it just kind of dropped out of nowhere with Matt posting on Twitter that he was having problems with trying to unblock people. There was no official announcement. It was like, oh, hey, I'm trying to do this, but it's not working. And then it slowly came out as a strange post on WordPress.org that, oh, yes, we're unblocking everybody. And then there was Matt's post on his personal blog that acknowledging the Pope's death. And there was a post also on another post on WordPress.org, WordPress Jubilee, that was acknowledging the Jubilee in the Catholic tradition. And so it looked like this was all tied to some kind of Easter revelation. I'm not sure. I don't want to make assumptions, but anyone's guess is as good as mine, I guess, or my guess is as good, but as what anyone else can try and ascertain out of what's going on. But to cut through all that, I had a chat with Mary Hubbard to get stats. And so she clarified for me that 32 WordPress accounts that were blocked since September have been unblocked. And so that includes people like Ryan McHugh, who's really, really he's been a long time core committer and created the WordPress REST API. He's back. People like Joost de Valk, Kareem Aruki as well, and say Reid, people who were blocked because of governance issues. And so they're all back.
That bull by the horns? Have they been embracing their unblockedness, if you know what I mean, or was it more a case of, okay, I've been blocked, that's me, I'm done, or maybe you don't know. I don't know. So
I haven't seen them taking advantage of being back.
Yeah,
I know for people like Ryan, it was quite distressing to be banned and to suddenly be, you know, not be able to log into an account he'd been using for 20 plus years. It's a tough one because I know a couple of people have written blog posts about being banned and what it was like. So I think it's a bit bittersweet to get their accounts back.
I guess in some respects you make other plans, don't you? Your life probably has moved on in different directions for all of those 32 people. Maybe they've found other things to do. Maybe they're, you know, welcoming in it and will come back. But again, we'll link to that. But that's a fairly, obviously, you know, if we go back 10 months, none of us foresaw any of this. And now we're in the position where, you know, people were banned and now have been unbanned. Then, you know, it moved in one direction. It seems to be moving in another direction. Maybe only time will tell what the reasons for all of that are. But yeah, okay. That's all I think we've got time for. Darn it.
Yeah, geez.
And it's like 4 in the morning where you are.
Not quite. It's three. Definitely not that late.
Ray is, we're recording this kind of, you know, it's early afternoon for me, which means in Australia it's brutal o'clock.
It's 10 to 11.
Well, here you are talking to me at 10 to 11. I think that's pretty brutal. So I appreciate that. We have put so many other things that we could have talked about. Sadly, time is the enemy, but we'll end it there. So if you've got any commentary on that, head over to wpbuilds.com. Search for this, What Just Happened, episode, what did we think? Episode 4, I think we agreed.
Episode 4, yes.
And give us some commentary if you want to do that. And don't forget, go to the repository.email. Just Google it and go there and subscribe right away. And if you don't, you're very naughty. Because it's brilliant. And this is what keeps Ray awake at 11 o'clock at night, is thinking about WordPress and keeping us all informed. So, Ray, without further ado, I'm going to say thank you so much for chatting to me. I really appreciate it.
No, I really enjoy doing this podcast. It's a lot of fun.
You're very good. Very, very good. Thank you so much. Okay, that's all we've got for you this week. Before I fade in the cheesy music at the very, very end, I would just like to thank once more Ray Morey for joining me and summing up the last 3 months in the WordPress space incredibly effectively. I hope that you did enjoy it. If you did, you've got any comments about that, head to WP Builds, search for episode number 423, and please leave us a comment there. The WP Builds podcast is brought to you today by GoDaddy Pro. GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with The Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place, invoice clients, and get 30% off new purchases. Find out more at go.me/WPBuilds. We're also joined this week by Bluehost. Bluehost, redefine your web hosting experience with Bluehost Cloud. Managed WordPress hosting that comes with lightning-fast websites, 100% network uptime, and 24/7 priority support. With Bluehost Cloud, the possibilities are out of this world. Experience it today at bluehost.com/cloud. Keeping the lights on this week are also OmniSend. OmniSend, do you sell your stuff online? Then meet OmniSend. Yes, that's OmniSend, the email and SMS tool that helps you make $73 for every dollar spent. The one that's so good, it's almost boring. Hate the excitement of roller coaster sales? Prefer a steady line going up? Try OmniSend today at omnisend.com. And sincere thanks go to GoDaddy Pro, Bluehost, and OmniSend for their support of the WP Builds podcast. Okay, that really, really, really is very, very, very near the end of the podcast. The cheesy music will come in a moment. Just before then, I would like to thank you, dear listener. Thanks for engaging with the podcast. If you would like to subscribe, head to wpbuilds.com/subscribe. And if you fancy getting your name in the podcast, head to wpbuilds.com/advertise to find out more. As always, some cheesy music is about to fade in. And all that I need to say is, stay safe. Have a good week. Bye-bye for now.